Hi, gang. Bob Boving here for the Mystery Project. Back tonight with the latest installment of Midnight Cab. The series is written by James W. Nichols and stars David Ferry as Walker Devereaux. This time, Walker's gift for Krista suddenly goes horribly wrong and starts the clock running on a complicated and deadly puzzle that rises like a phoenix from the past. Midnight Cab, Episode 34, The Mystery of the Laughing Clock.
Walker? Walker, where are you now?
Hello there.
Oh, hello there.
Your dulcet tone, your pearl-shaped vowels, your unspeakably erotic consonants.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to miss you.
Walker, I'm not going anywhere. I'll just be managing full-time instead of dispatching, that's all. I'll still be home when you get off your shift. I won't be so tired.
Yeah, but it still won't be the same. Who's going to replace you? Joe Smart? Someone new? It'll sound weird.
Walker, where are you?
It just won't be the same.
Alfonso's thinking of joining the Central Dispatch Service full-time. I suggested it to him. It's more cost-efficient.
See? We'll lose the personal touch.
Walker?
What?
If you keep going on about this, that's exactly what you'll lose.
November 21st. Mr. Pietelli and Krista have finished their negotiations. He's agreed to pay her more for managing the cab company than he does for dispatching, and she's agreed not to try to manage him. So she won't be on the short way from home anymore. She'll be working days down at the office as an executive. First priority, setting up a new computerized accounting system. Starts the 1st of December. Jeez. Krista is on the way up, and, well, just in time. She was getting dangerous, banging a wheelchair into things, trying to go too fast on her crutches, like frustrated. Her abilities and intelligence were so underemployed. Let's face it, she could dispatch in her sleep. Now she's full of plans and hope. Me too. I'm still driving cab. I'm still sending out my third unpublished novel.
Hey, you.
Hi. What are you doing home? You're supposed to be working.
Is Martha asleep?
Yeah. AP cab? Yes, ma'am. How many people? 10 minutes. Thank you. What have you got behind your back?
What?
Behind your back. Kahib, where are you now? Okay, pickups, but on a hotel. Party of four. Good luck.
You see, that's the personal touch.
Turn around. You've got something behind you. Oh!
Like it?
I love it. What's it for?
It's a clock.
I know that, but why?
Because, well, just to say, I'm really proud of you. I love you, and I wish you the best on your new job.
Oh, Walker. It's beautiful. How does it work?
You open up this little door at the back. It winds up just like a normal clock, but if you trip this little lever and move the hands to the hour, then... and the ballerina goes round and round.
How much did it cost? It must have cost a fortune.
No, not really.
Is it an antique?
Yeah.
Come here. Thank you.
It's just a little something. Nothing much. Martha's asleep, you say?
Yeah. Go back to work. I'll see you when you get home.
It's good to bring home a present every once in a while. It kind of builds up points. I got home after work that night about 4:30 in the morning. Krista had put the clock on our dresser. She was deep asleep. I snuggled in quietly beside her, got comfortable, looked at the clock. Its genuine mahogany base, gold-trimmed glass globe. The face of the clock looked white in the moonlight. The little ballet dancer, stationary under the hands. I wondered if Krista had left the music box on as it inched towards 5. Then I fell asleep. It seemed that I hadn't been asleep for more than a few minutes when I heard this noise. I sat right up, looked all around. Nothing. I looked towards the dark hallway, the closet. The clock.
What? is it, Walker?
I don't know.
Walker!
I don't know. It's the clock.
What?
It's the clock.
Well, stop it!
It won't stop.
It's scaring Martha. It's scaring me. Stop it!
I don't know how. Damn
it. Stop it! Walker, where are you going? Oh.
Yeah, just don't see Martha. I can't see where to turn it off. Don't see Martha. Oh, this is it.
It's okay. It's all right now. Daddy's fixed it.
Oh, my God. You drowned my clock.
I know. There's nothing else I could do.
Hey, Walker. How you doing, man?
Not so good.
Krista!
Hi, Lenny.
Haven't seen you since Walker and you made it official, eh? You're a mommy.
Yes, I am.
Hey, how'd you do that?
The usual way.
Yeah, but you didn't ask me my permission. What you got in the bag?
I've got a wet clock in the bag, Lenny. Very funny.
What are you talking about?
Your gag. You owe us $80.
Plus tax. Plus aggravation. Plus being terrified.
Hey, come on, you guys. What are you... Hey, look at the face on this clock. It's all bubbled. You ruined it, man.
Yeah, and look at the tape you hid inside.
Tape? What's going on? I didn't...
Remember when you sent a stripper up to Walker's apartment to sing O Canada, and I happened to be there?
Yeah?
Well, this is even more stupid than that. This was the stupidest, because it scared us.
It was Canada Day.
Never mind that. What about this?
I don't know anything about this. I swear to God I don't. Honest. Like, what's on the tape? I don't get it. Will someone explain this to me?
You didn't do this?
No. No.
There was laughter. All this crazy laughter on it. Somebody rigged this little miniature cassette player to some thingamajig.
5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock in the morning it went off.
In the mahogany bass.
The mahogany bass isn't original to the piece. It's been added.
No kidding. It looked right. What do I know?
Jeez.
Krista, Walker came in looking for a gift. I said, well, I know the perfect thing for Krista. I went and got it. But Walker went nuts. It was just perfect. I mean, you said it was perfect.
Yeah.
So what do you think? We keep some maniac clock in the back? A customer comes in we don't like? Or we sell it to him?
It just seemed like something...
It seemed like you, Lenny.
I don't know how you got that idea, man. I was really happy that Walker was really happy, and then you were going to be really happy.
What's the problem, Lenny?
Hello there, Mr. Steiner.
Hello, Walker.
This is my wife, Krista. I don't think you ever met.
No.
Lenny's dad.
Oh, hi, Mr. Steiner.
Hello there. My, my, my. What a catastrophe.
This clock... It was wired for, what, laughter?
Yeah,
laughter.
Scary laughter.
Well, I sold it to Walker yesterday. I saw it at the back. I thought it would be perfect. Didn't you check it over?
No. Dalton brought it in around noon. I didn't have a chance. Leonard, don't take stuff from the back. How many times have I told you?
Yeah, okay.
Now, give him the money back, plus... $20, my apologies.
It wasn't your fault.
You didn't know.
No, I didn't know. What people will do to perfectly good property, it never ceases to amaze me. I'll get this out of your way.
I can carry it.
I've got it. I'm not dead yet. Now look around. Maybe you'll see something else you like.
We don't want the extra 20, Mr. Steiner.
Take it.
That's 92, right? Plus 20.
Forget the 20.
He said take it. So it went like, ha, ha, ha?
You had to be there.
Right. But it was a joke.
No.
The voice was too weird, Lenny. It was designed to really frighten someone, at least until you found out it was just a clock.
And then you'd still be frightened of the nut bar who went to all that trouble.
Right.
Right what?
Remember the movie The Godfather? The horse's head in the mobster's bed? It's like that. It's a threat.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, good.
Who's Dalton?
He's a garbage man. I mean, it's against city rules, I guess, but everyone needs extra money these days, right? Well, if he sees something valuable and he thinks we could sell it, he brings it here. We give him a few bucks for it.
Like that clock?
I guess so.
It was garbage?
Well,
I didn't know. Look, have you got Dalton's number?
Sure. It's here somewhere.
What for?
Well, maybe I'll call and find out where he picked up the clock. Maybe somebody's in trouble.
Are you crazy?
You heard that voice. Krista, what do you want to do? Nothing? Don't you at least want to find out the explanation?
No.
Look, here's Dalton's number. And I'll write down my number at home, just in case you find anything out. You got me going crazy now. And, don't say anything to my dad, okay? Just between you and me.
You're not saying much. Look, it wasn't like garbage. It was just in the garbage because it probably frightened someone. They wanted to get rid of it. But the clock itself, if it hadn't been rigged, it was really a good one. I liked it. You liked it, didn't you? Okay. Keep the money and get something you like.
Dope.
Pardon?
I liked the clock. I loved it. That's why. I loved you giving it to me. That's why I'm sad. Because it's ruined, dope.
One question.
What?
If that clock had just come in and Mr. Steiner hadn't looked at it, how do you suppose Lenny knew what to charge me for it?
He guessed.
No. There was a price sticker on it. Steiner's. $80. Lenny peeled it off.
So?
So, the last thing Mr. Steiner would do to that clock is price it. He'd clean it all up inside and out, make sure it was in working order, maybe look up a reference book or two, and then he'd price it. Mr. Steiner's a handy guy. He fixes all the watches, clocks, anything else that comes into the store. So why wouldn't he have discovered what was inside that clock? On the other hand, a guy like him, he could easily have fitted it with some mahogany base.
And rigged up the timing device for the cassette player himself?
Yeah.
You think what? That was Mr. Steiner's voice on the tape?
Maybe. I could tell Lenny figured out the sticker thing, too. That's why he asked me to phone him if I found anything out. And not to speak to his dad. Weird, eh? I lied to Dalton, the garbage man. I told him I bought the clock and then discovered a valuable ring hidden inside it. I wanted to return it to the owner, and I wondered if he could point out the house where he'd found the clock tossed out with the garbage. He thought I was from the city at first checking up on him, but I offered him the $20 to do it and said I'd pick him up in my cab. After thinking about it for a little while, he said, what the hell? Why not? We drove up Kingston Road, then turned towards the lake, Dalton giving me directions. After a while, he motioned me to stop, pointed out a Tudor-style house sitting on the edge of the Scarborough Bluffs. I got out, left Dalton sitting there, and walked up to the front door. It was 10:00. All the windows in the house were dark, but there was an outside light over the door, that day's mail in the mailbox. I peeked. Mr. William Aaron, 38 Granby Crescent. And then I rang the buzzer 3 times. No answer. I walked around the side of the house. Maybe there was a light on in a room at the back. Maybe he couldn't hear the doorbell. Maybe Mr. William Aaron was in trouble. But what was his connection to Lenny's dad? I turned the back corner of the house, and then I saw him. Someone. Standing at the back of the yard, overlooking the sparkling moonlit lake. At the very edge of the bluff.
Mr. Aaron! Hello? Mr. Aaron?
What? Oh, who the hell are you? Get away. Get out of here.
Hey, it's okay.
Leave me alone.
I was just worried.
Yeah. What? Worried? What? Yeah. Are you from the city, huh? Yes. That's about time. Come here. See here. Look. This is what I've been trying to tell you. I've lost another 3 feet off my yard. It just toppled down. Now, what are you going to do? This is outrageous. I pay good property taxes. My whole property's falling into the lake. God damn you!
With that, the old man walked up and down the edge of his property, just inches from a drop of 300 feet to the shore below. His silver hair blew in the wind. He shook his fist at me, at the lake, at God. He looked like Ahab reeling against Moby Dick.
Look down! The way down! That's the retaining wall you idiots put in 2 years ago to retain... Nothing! Nothing!
Do you know how much money I spend every year to try to save my place? Do you care?
Something has to be done.
Well, I'm not from the city. That's not why I'm here.
What?
I'm not from the city. I bought that clock, the one you threw out, you know, with the little dancer, the weird laughter. It was so crazy, I just wanted to make sure no one was, like, in trouble or anything.
This is private property.
I know.
Well, get out. Get out!
Hey.
Get out!
Suddenly, the old man came at me to push me. I stumbled back over some flagstones, bumped into a bird bath, and then beat a hasty retreat up the yard. I didn't want him to go into cardiac arrest or something. I turned around for one last look. He was standing beside the bird bath, watching me.
What did he look like?
Upset. The whole time. Confused. Kind of crazy.
AP Cats. Yes, sir. Okay, right. Give us 10 minutes. Thank you. Well, it isn't going to get any less crazy.
Why?
Lenny called. He's on his way over.
Blackmail.
Blackmail?
Yeah, that's what I figure anyway. After you guys left, I found that clock dumped in the garbage at the back of the store. All the tape had been stripped out of the cassette. I smelled bleach. He'd washed the tape in bleach just to make sure.
Of what? That nothing was on it?
Yeah.
Here's your coffee.
He's had a couple of heart attacks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One bad one. Maybe did something to his head. I don't know what to say to him.
Lenny, maybe he did rig that clock. Maybe that was his voice on the tape and that's why he bleached it off. But how do you get from there to blackmail?
Let me ask you a question first. When you went out to that house tonight, you didn't happen to find out who lives there, did you?
An old guy. I'm not positive, but I think his name's William Aaron.
Oh.
You okay?
No.
Lenny pulled out a large manila envelope from inside his football jacket and laid it down on the kitchen table. He said he found it in his dad's office at home. Then he opened it and pulled out some old letters still in their envelopes and yellowed newspaper clippings taped onto cardboard backings. The letters were written during and after the Second World War by someone who signed herself Your Loving Niece Eve, Your Traveling Niece Eve, Your Famous Niece Eve, all addressed to the same aunt who'd lived in Brantford, Ontario. Eve had traveled all through Britain and Europe and North Africa entertaining the troops. Eve was a dancer. After the war, she'd married a sailor she'd first met in Liverpool at one of her shows. His name was Billy Aaron, a real doll, funnier than a barrel of monkeys, romantic too, and a perfect gentleman. The letters kept coming. Marriage, career, modern dance company, touring, great reviews. And then the letters grew until only one or two a year. Billy is very moody. 1952. Billy tends to threaten, but I think it's just bad nerves. 1953. Billy's quit work. He's going to manage my career. 1953. Billy hasn't actually hit me, but he scares me. 1954. Billy drinks so much. 1954. Billy keeps threatening to kill me. I'm sure it's just a joke. And the newspaper clippings began where the letters left off. November 1955. Prominent dancer missing. Feared abducted. And photographs of her car parked behind a rehearsal hall on Parliament Street. Driver door open. Keys still in the ignition. Blood on the steering wheel. One of her shoes on the floor. And still missing, feared dead, and husband of the missing dancer, distraught.
I'm feeling sick.
Yeah?
I think my dad found these letters at the bottom of some old trunk or underneath some plates in a cardboard box or something. From an estate sale, you see? You find old letters and newspaper clippings and stuff all the time.
Look at this. It says here the couple lives on Grandview Crescent on the Scarborough Bluffs. 40 years later and the old man still hasn't moved. So, your dad reads this, has the address, goes out there and blackmails Billy Aaron?
Lenny, it's your dad you're talking about.
I know. That's why I want Walker to come home with me and talk to him. He won't listen to me. But if he's doing something crazy, then maybe. I mean, once he knows we know, like other people know,
he'll stop.
Yeah!
I didn't think we'd get anywhere with Mr. Steiner other than the nearest snowbank, once Lenny showed him that he'd found the letters and newspaper clippings and told his father what he suspected. But instead, Mr. Steiner just stared at Lenny for the longest moment and asked us both if we'd follow him into his office. He closed the door and sank down into a chair.
It's like I've been walking through a nightmare. I created my own nightmare.
But why, Dad? What are you doing?
Where's your mother?
At her club.
At her club, that's right. I love your mother so much. And it's my fault. I wanted to make all the decisions. I wanted to give your mother a protected life so she could stay home, look after you and your sister. And now, what's she going to do?
What are you talking about?
God forgive me, I've lost everything.
What?
Everything. Oh, I was a smart guy, Lenny. I remortgaged the house, cashed in my other investments, even cashed in my life insurance. Put all of it into this high-tech company that couldn't lose. I was going to make a killing. Well, under finance, patent trouble, the inside guys cashed out, the stock drops overnight, and under I go.
Oh, Dad.
I can't even get any more life insurance with this heart of mine. So what am I going to leave your mother? You, your sister, you'll lose the house? There's nothing.
Dad.
So that's why you decided to try to extort money from William Aaron.
He murdered his wife. You've seen those letters and the newspaper clippings, too. Insurance. Did you read about the insurance? $300,000 on his wife. Bought just 3 years before. $300,000 and she disappears? Abducted? Never to be found? In 2 years, he could file for the life insurance.
And what did the police do, even if they were suspicious, if they had nothing to go on? Her aunt and you were suspected, at least, but she didn't come forward. She just held on to these letters.
I went out there feeling like an avenging angel. I gave him photostats of those letters, the newspaper clippings. I told him my name, Saul Steiner, my address. I even gave him my phone number. And I said, I wanted money. I wanted money, $100,000. I ranted, he raged, kicked me out. But never told the police. That's what I was waiting for. I knew then I was right. He was a murderer. The clock with the dancer. It had been gathering dust in my storeroom for years. I looked at it at the little ballerina. And I cleaned it up and I put a Steiner store label on it so he'd know it came from me. And I got this idea to scare him with that tape so he'd think I was a dangerous lunatic. In my own nightmare, and I couldn't get out. I went out to his place just before 5 o'clock in the morning. I set it down, banged on his door. I had to bang and bang. Then the light came on. I stepped back into the dark, and I watched him open the door, look around, see the clock, pick it up, and then take it back inside. It was almost 5 o'clock.
Dad, you were so wrong.
Don't you think I know that? I felt like I was going insane, but I didn't know what else to do.
Lenny.
What?
Listen to this. Billy is spending all his time out in the backyard. He's building a bird bath. He says it's for me. What a card. His jokes are beginning to wear thin. You have to wonder, don't you?
At what?
Given the tragic memories, why Billy Aaron would continue to live in that same place for 40 years? We couldn't just leave things the way they were, a murderer free. We'd have to turn the letters over to Inspector Kiss. Even Lenny's dad agreed with that. At the same time, if Inspector Kiss couldn't really do anything about Billy Aaron because of the lack of hard evidence, then maybe he'd still have to charge Mr. Steiner with attempted extortion. But if we could prove Billy Aaron was a murderer, then Inspector Kiss might agree to forget that Lenny's dad ever spoke to Billy Aaron in the first place. It was the middle of the night by the time Lenny and I got organized and drove out to Grandview Crescent in the cab and snuck into Billy Aaron's backyard and wrestled away the birdbath near the edge of the bluff. There was a circular pile of rubble under the birdbath, and we started to pick out the stones one by one and it went down deeper and deeper like a chamber into the ground. Lenny was holding onto my legs, and I was still pulling out rocks and pinning them up when I felt something stringy, like a mat of cold, wet threads. It came away. Lenny drew me up. We turned on the flashlight. My hand was full of hair. And gleaming out from beneath the rubble at the bottom of that dark hole in the glare of the flashlight was the shiny white cap of a human skull.
Could you please not talk about it anymore? Hand me the soap.
Okay. Inspector Kiss gave me hell for disturbing the crime scene.
Walker.
And then he said he'd forget about Lenny's dad. Lenny cried.
Oh.
He said he's going out to have a chat with Billy Aaron this afternoon. The one thing I still can't figure out, why didn't her aunt show someone those letters?
Well, maybe she was scared of the guy, too. Maybe she wasn't sure if those letters really proved anything. Maybe she just didn't know what to do.
And meanwhile, Billy Aaron watches his property slowly fall down the bluff for 40 years. There was nothing he could do. The birdbath and her body inching closer and closer to the edge.
Oh, okay. Sometimes the world's just too weird. Sometimes I feel like I just want to stay in a hot bath for the rest of my life.
Eve Houston Aaron. Answer.
Yeah.
You just heard The Mystery of the Laughing Clock, episode 34 of Midnight Cab by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista. Eric Kimmel was heard as Lenny, with John Stalker as Sol Steiner and Bernard Behrens as Mr. Aaron. Music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. Casting is by Linda Grierson. Our recording engineer is Janice Byer. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcox. The production assistant is Nina Callahan. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by our executive producer, Bill Howell. For the Mystery Project, I'm Bob Boving, inviting you to join us next week for The Mystery of the Soft-Hearted Man. It's the final adventure for Walker and Krista and the Midnight Cab. That's Wednesday on Morningside, and here again Saturday on The Mystery Project. See you next week.
Tonight's music on CBC Radio, as usual, starting with Finkelman's 45s, after the news at 8 o'clock, 8:30 in Newfoundland. Tonight, Danny has, among other groups...